and environment together and to action. And we have been long awaiting this bill, I think, for at least several weeks. And I'd like to welcome Representative Alan Brown and also Mr. Guy Petrice, if you'll come forward and present to us the bill you have.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
For the record, good to have you aboard.
Good morning. For the record, I'm State Representative Alan Brown, and I have I'm here to testify on HJR 3, which is identifying a state fossil for the state of Oregon. I won't try to fool anyone, which I could in any way, as to my knowledge on any kind of fossil, other than the fact that I'm very close to being one personally myself. The fossil that we were just talking about today is the Meta Sequoia. It's an extinct redwood that was common throughout the Northwest about 5 million years ago, and recently rediscovered in China. And as Representative Barnhart had pointed out to me earlier, on the campus of the University of Oregon. With that, I'll turn it over to Guy DeTorres, who's here with me today, and he can tell you about our fossil.
Thank you, Representative Brown. I'd like to thank the committee for taking on the matter. We understand that there are a number of items before the legislature that are very pressing and very important to be considered, budgets, PERS, health plans, and we recognize that there are some folks that might feel this is a bit frivolous. This is my third time trying to get this item before the legislature. It's been a personal passion, and I'd like to explain briefly why a guy from the coast is out here to promote a fossil that is found in large numbers in Central Oregon. And I'll be introducing my partner in collections before we're done about this. Oregon's one of the few states. We have 42 states in the United States that have dedicated or designated a state fossil. Only two other states have used plants. A couple states have used wood. So the Meta Sequoia represents a very unique way to promote the fossil resources of the state of Oregon. The other thing that's really nice about the Meta Sequoia is not only is it what I consider to be a very beautiful fossil, Dr. William Moore, the state paleontologist, says it's also a fossil that has a very significant story to tell, because it was a tree very prevalent in the state of Oregon. Large forests covered 7 to 8 counties of Central Oregon in a subtropical climate 20 to 30 million years ago, and the tree itself became extinct in Oregon, and it wasn't until World War II when troops were in China, where an arboretist discovered one, brought it back to the United States, and as part of a national arboretum program, bred the tree back into life in the United States. So if you will, we also have with the Meta Sequoia a living fossil. If you're a nurseryman or someone who does landscaping, it's the Dawn Redwood. The species has not changed in appearance or size in the millions of years it's been on this planet, which helps tell a very important story for folks who do study the fossil record, whether it's in school or in academic realms. I passed out a packet to the committee and also a bagged specimen of the sample. The specimen itself comes from the fossil beds above the high school in Fossil, Oregon. This is now a managed site. The city treats it as a community resource. There is a staff person that is on that site throughout the week and on busier weekends. They provide tools for folks to come up and go through and harvest and collect the fossils, but they're also protecting the resource by limiting the amount of collection that takes place there. Also in the John Day National Fossil Beds, the items are protected. And one application of the protection is done with OMSI, where they run Camp Hancock just outside of Fossil as part of a paleo education program for students year-round, although they do a lot more in the spring-summer months than they do in the winter out there. The packet I provided to you includes some information about how the Metasequoia has been used. One of the flyers I've reproduced for you includes an advertisement that was done by the Oregon Tourism Commission in the 80s to promote the John Day fossil beds. It was part of a campaign to promote Oregon's natural resources. And again, something that I think is valuable to us, just like we have the Thunder Egg as a state rock and the Sunstone as a state mineral. It's a way for us to promote our natural resources in a way that's of no cost to the state. One comment I had from a legislator a couple of weeks ago is he was worried about the cost of this. I'm not identifying any costs to date. It requires an update of the Oregon Blue Book when you reprint it. It requires an addition to Oregon.gov on the designations page. I understand there's some tiles out on the mall that designate the state flower, the state bird, and want to put on the record that should the state decide they have to have a state fossil tile on the mall, I'll handle raising the funds to get that done. We're not here to ask for protection measures. We're not here to ask for budgetary measures. Again, I see this as a way for us to help promote the state in a national, international realm. It puts us on a map as far as what we have to offer visitors that come into the state. And being a guy from the coast, I love traveling to Central Oregon. I dig for Thunder Eggs. That's how I finance the collection materials in front of you and have been financing this campaign is I sell Thunder Eggs on eBay. And it make good money, especially when people from Ohio and Texas want a Thunder Egg real bad. I'm not here to promote or advocate that we do that to the Metasequoia. I think fossil protections are there through the BLM and through the National Forest Service, and they've been pretty tight about how we protect those resources. But I wanted to talk a bit about the collecting part and turn it over to my younger counterpart to my left. There are many of us that go to Fossil Oregon. There's a group that shows up Memorial Day weekend, but those are motorcyclists, and they only go to the hill to see what us weird people are doing with picks and razor blades in our hands. We use the razor blades, by the way, to chip the rock so you can get the specimens in front of you. While at the Bridge Flora and Fauna Bed and Breakfast a few years back, a young man was introduced to me that was staying there who wanted to learn about the fossil beds. And I'd like to introduce another advocate for fossiling in Oregon, Mackenzie Smith from Tiger. Mackenzie.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Mackenzie Smith. I'm a fifth grader at Templeton Elementary School in Tiger. I have been interested in fossils ever since I can remember. My parents have taken me to museums and rock and mineral displays, dig sites, and lectures. I have found fossils and had them identified. I plan to be a paleontologist when I grow up. Did you know Oregon is the only western state that does not have a state fossil? I would like to see the Metasequoia become Oregon's state fossil because it is plentiful and Oregon has a rich timber history, and it would just be perfect because the Metasequoia is a tree. When you think about it, Oregon's timber history goes back to prehistoric times. The Don Redwood, or Metasequoia, when it is fossilized, is a really unique tree. It loses its leaves, or needles, in the fall, and then they grow back again in the spring. I like the tree as well as the fossil. I even had one planted near our home. A couple of years ago, I dug in the town of Fossil. It was great. I found a number of fossils, and Guy helped me identify them. Many of the students at my school have learned about the Metasequoia, especially third and fifth graders. I had a display at the Tiger Library for 2 months earlier this year. A number of students and community members saw the exhibit and a small specimen of the Metasequoia. According to librarians, the exhibit was well received. How does designating the Metasequoia affect you? Once the Metasequoia is designated as Oregon State Fossil, it could have a positive impact on Oregon's economy, especially travel and tourism. People want to see Oregon State Fossil in its native area. Oregon's paleo history is exciting and interesting. And the best part is that there's no cost to the taxpayer. Thank you for considering the Metasequoia as Oregon State Fossil.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
Thank you.
He traveled all the way to Newport this last month when the Hatfield Marine Science Center hosted its annual Fossil Fest. I present with Dr. Orr, and McKinsey makes that trip annually out there, and we go to Fossil once in a while ourselves. So, I could talk for hours about the measure and about the research I've done. It's 3 years' worth of information. I thought it best to leave time to answer questions because you're the folks that need to make the decision about supporting the measure, and we wanted to make sure we had time to do it. The eventuality is we want to force the author to update the book, Stately Fossils. He's posted information on the website announcing the House resolution, the House Joint Resolution, and we're also getting letters from groups from around the country, but I didn't want to bore you with letters from people from New Mexico and Idaho and other places. I thought it'd be best to come forth today. The other part is if we needed to get additional information materials for you, I want to leave with a shopping list today and be happy to put things together for you. Thanks for your attention today.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Gerard.
Guy, you mentioned you have attempted to do this before.
Yes.
Could you tell me why you failed?
In 99, I'm sorry, I want to get this right, 2001, the individual that promised to pass it, or promised to introduce it, forgot to introduce it. And I didn't do diligence by calling him the week before. I called the week after to find out when the hearing was scheduled and discovered it too late. Last session, I had a state representative and a state senator lined up for it. Both felt that the measure, with so much budget activity going on and things looking as bad as they were, might be misinterpreted. During this past year's election, I met with every candidate for the State House, State Senate in my region and sat down and said, I need to hear why this is a bad idea. And none of them pointed out being a bad idea. And Representative Brown, after I met with him the first time, said, I'm happy to introduce it for you. My push the last two times has been to get someone from Central Oregon to introduce it. The other problem I was having a state representative or a senator from Central Oregon introducing a measure on behalf of a guy from the coast. I've been the point person on it and frankly been trying to put it together thinking that somebody from outside the area would be a better push for it. You know, it wouldn't be something where the locals are just pushing it. So budget's been the big issue, and then my not doing diligence the first year as far as tracking the introduction part. Conversely, this year, Representative Brown's aide has been on the phone and emailing me from the very day of the election up to the point of getting introduced. So we did things a little bit differently as far as tracking the measure this year.
Follow, Mr. Chairman. Just want to congratulate you on your young spokesman who did an extremely good job of presenting your views.
Thank you. McKinsey's headlined in the Tiger newspaper today. I didn't have time to reproduce it for this. And like I said, he got press on his exhibit at the library. It got very good play in town. For some reason, we're past dinosaurs in the paleo realm now, and more teachers are starting to grab onto fossils as a way to educate students. And part of it is there's a lot of us in the country that donate fossils and rocks to schools for that purpose, and it's very inexpensive for teachers to do that. You go to my website, OregonFossilGuy.com, and I donate fossils off the beach to schools all over the state. So it is coming back as part of an earth science effort, and we've passed the playful realm of dinosaurs that was the Jurassic Park thing of a few years back. Fossiling's coming back, and we hope to be on the surf end of this one.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the time it takes for a fossil to be formed. What kind of a period of time are you? Has this been formed that we're seeing here today?
All of the specimens you have and the ones that I travel with are from the Clarino Formation. That's the entire John Day Basin. And the marls, or the muds that they're in, were part of an ancient seabed, or a large lake bed. It was actually fresh water. So you're talking about plants that were dying along the shores of the lake and laying down, floating out, and ending up in the silty bottoms anywhere from 30 up to 5 million years ago. To become compressed impressions like this only takes a matter of a millennia or two. Thousands of years, you can actually have an impression in the rock. Paleontologically speaking, we like to set that 10,000 year mark as something needs to be at least 10,000 years old to have a fossil designation. any preserved remain of a plant or animal is considered fossilized. So even our mummies out of Egypt are fossils, if you will. These were formed in a matter of thousands of years in the formation. They were preserved in the muds. And like I said, when we're collecting them, we're taking up pieces of rock in a hand size, and we're razor cutting them in lateral slices. So some of you have, like on this piece, that's only two different rocks with 12 specimens that came out of it. So they're being razor blade. It was one large humongous mulch pile that formed out there. And the metasequoia, being the type of conifer that it was when the needles were intact, tended to preserve more detail than a lot of the leafy material. Leafy material tended to dissolve or fall apart. We get buds, we get seed pods, and a little sidebar, something I find unique about metasequoia is everything about it's symmetrical. You slice the needle down the middle, it's the same on both sides. You slice a branch down the middle, it's the same on both sides. So it just takes a matter of, geologically speaking, very young.
And what is your background, Guy? Is it
I have to say I'm just like Mackenzie.
The collector.
I started when I was younger than him and had parents that sent me to the library to learn. We're both book learned. There just aren't any classes. In fact, I took my first official geology class at Hatfield 2 months ago through Oregon State University. I'm actually now certified in geology interpretation, which means I can tell you where stuff comes from. But no, I'm a young collector, been collecting since I was a kid, and been blessed to live in the Midwest where we had the ancient ocean, in Colorado where, I mean, that's where Mackenzie would love to go, because I collected dino material in Colorado, and since I moved to the beaches, I've been collecting beach fossils. I do tours on the beaches. I do talks at state parks and Hatfield. It's a hobby sort of run amok at our house.
Sounds good. One other question, and that from my end of it, is we have this fossilized material. We also have active live growing material. Is that unique for a fossil to be put into state history in terms of being the state fossil?
It was one of the reasons why we've been pitching this timber heritage, and one of the pictures in the handouts I gave you, you have a fossil right next to a real-life clipping from a plant from today.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why we're on almost all the campuses in Oregon, Linfield, Lewis and Clark, Oregon State, U of O, was that was part of bringing back the metasequoia into the United States as part of the Arboretum effort of the 40s and 50s. Coincidentally, the city of Gresham is testing the metasequoia on traffic medians. We need to remember that millions of years ago, Oregon was very volcanically active, and daily the spewings of Mount St. Helens were taking place along the entire Cascade Range. So being a tree that could handle bad air was valuable and was one of the keys as to metasequoia's successful ending up in this fossil record. They're using it to see how it handles traffic on the traffic medians in Gresham. So, yeah, it's very unique. We have very, very few living fossils in the world. Your alligators, your coelacanths are reptiles and fishes that are living fossils. Research today is telling us that the large squids in the deep ocean are apparently of the same size and makeup of back then. What's really cool about metasequoia is we can take one from today, one from them, like the coelacanths, lay them side by side, and they're just spitting images of each other.
I'm interested that we have a number of dinosaurs that are represented here, also two woolly mammoths. I think we're a little safer if we recognize the metasequoia than if we have a woolly mammoth come back and show up today.
Well, that too. And another part that I made a notation on the sheet about and want to underscore is we have a fossil that any child, any school group, any person that's retired and wants to get an addition to their collection has the ability to come to Oregon, be part of a managed site, take pictures, record it. In Washington, bless their heart, they found parts of a woolly mammoth someplace once. They don't even have a whole one. And that's sort of hard if you're going to study it where your state's fossil is just in parts. Plenty of states utilize their fossils and the designation as a way to promote coming there and seeing them in situ or on site, as Mackenzie was pointing out. And this is something where you want one for your collection. You're able to do it in this state without any problems. In fact, you can be assisted by a city that's managing the sites. You can visit the John Day fossil beds and get very scientific displays photographed and impressions made. So it's one of those things where we're kind of lucky, and plus you don't have dinosaurs roaming the streets of Oregon. Our rocks are too young for dinos.
I think many of you have probably been to Condon and Fossil and seen some of the exhibits there, but if you haven't, it's a very interesting exhibit, and fun to go out and actually farm some fossils, so I'd encourage any of the members that haven't to take some time to get out there with their families. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder, I know this isn't your area specialty, but I wonder if you could give us a couple comments about the life cycle of the metasequoia as we find it in Oregon today. I mean, you've told us a little bit about its use in medians, and is it a big tree, a small tree? Does it live 50 years or 500 years? Or
it's what I could best describe as a very artistic-looking tree. It has a very wide base trunk that can get to be up to 3 and 4 feet in diameter, but it pivots straight up. It's the symmetry of the tree that gives it its beauty. So you'll end up with a tree of very few branches, but it goes straight up, if you will, almost like a Doug fir, branch off at the tops and sides, but it loses all that foliage annually. You end up with these really spiky looking trees on these campuses and in arboretums. It's one of the reasons why it's able to handle bad air the way it does. It's renewing its leaves annually. From a technical point of view, it reproduces very similar to the alder, where it has a flowering bud, closes up into a small cone. The alder cones are about the same size as the metasequoia cones, and a metasequoia is about half the size of sequoias, or your fellow redwoods. So it sits in the middle between the alder family, which is a deciduous, and or the annual leaf-dropping ones, and your hardcore conifers like the redwoods and the sequoia. The other thing that's real different about the metasequoia is the needles on your samples are all in V shapes. On the sequoia trees, they're all off-center. Another difference in the tree. Plus, it doesn't shed its needles annually. From a landscaping point of view, it's very low maintenance. It can handle fairly acidic soils. So it's not like an oak where it needs to be pampered the first couple of decades to get into some really good growth rings. And as I said, it is a hardy tree. It's just you have to put up with the needles coming down annually. So it requires some raking or mulching around it, and they handle them around the tree gathering of the campuses around the state that way. And again, I learned all that from research I've done on the web and from books I've picked up. You do metasequoia in a Google and you get about 4,200 references of science papers. Again, because it was thought to be extinct in this hemisphere and they found it in China, there's been a lot of research done about, well, why'd they go extinct in this hemisphere and how did China end up with them? One of those things of a microclimate in that nation in the mountains that protected it, and we're no longer a subtropical climate in Central Oregon.
Great. Staff question.
Yeah. That's what I just wanted to comment to the committee members that there is actually a betta sequoia tree on the front lawn of Willamette University over here. I think you might actually be able to see it out this window over here, but it's right on their front lawn over here.
And it's starting to bud.
Are we in any question of having a challenge from another state that their state is really the home of the metasequoia?
No.
As opposed to Oregon.
Now, again, I've been working real closely with both Fossil News, and as Representative Barnhart pointed out, my wife constantly points out what an oxymoron of a publication. Both Fossil News and Mr. Broussette have been tracking this with me. I went to them first because Steve manages a site called statelyfossils.com because I wanted to find out if we had one. Collecting thunder eggs, I knew we had the state rock. I didn't know about the state fossil. And when I discovered it back in 99, that's when I started this venture. No, western states are pretty well stuck on animals, and the few that have the petrified woods are very native to them. The petrified palm for Louisiana is a good example. Agate for Florida. So, no, nobody's competing with us for it. And I wanted to mention one other thing that I didn't say in the testimony. It's in the fact sheets. The Oregon Paleo Institute, or the Paleo Project, which is based in Wheeler County in the fossil area with the school district, is a project planning to develop an educational program in fossil to complement the efforts going on at the fossil beds at John Day and at Condon and Mitchell. And that's something the school district's working on. And their board of directors back in 2003, endorsed them at a Sequoia as the state fossil. They're going to be using it as a logo. And if you go into Fossil and they have their banners up, the banner in Fossil has something that looks like a very nondescript, but golly gee, it's a symmetrical leafed thing that sort of could look like a metasequoia.
Great. Well, thank you. Did Tammy Smith, would you like to testify, or you were just here as a joining the team?
I'm just
here. Yeah, that's great.
McKenzie well, support crew.
Certainly. Thank Mackenzie and Guy. We appreciate you bringing us this information. Representative Brown, sure appreciate you bringing it to the Capitol.
Chairman Anderson, is there anything we need to do in addition? Yeah, we could flood people with letters and petitions, but you've had that done with everything else getting a state designation. We thought we'd be a little more low key.
Well, I think you've done a good job so far.
Okay. We thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks.
I'll close the hearing on House Joint Resolution 3. I'm going to open a work session on House Joint Resolution 3. I'll entertain a motion.
House Joint Resolution 3 to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Representative Jensen moves House Joint Resolution 3 to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Dolan?
Aye.
Representative Lynn? Senator Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative Girard?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Chair Anderson?
Chair votes aye.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move that HJR 3 be moved to the consent calendar.
Excellent. Do I hear any discussion?
Are you sure yet?
Representative Brown needs to carry this.
Would you like to carry it?
Certainly, I'd be glad to.
Excellent. Good. Well, we won't need to put it on the consent calendar then, right?
I'll withdraw the motion.
Thank you.
I was just trying to help. I'll withdraw the motion, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. House Joint Resolution 3 passes with a majority, and it is now law. It is now going to the floor for a vote.
We're a little ahead of you. Put a few other things on your agenda.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you. We have finished our business for today, so we'll call adjournment.